What I want to do today is we're going to go back to Sefer Bereshit, or pretty much start and learn the book as a book, but pick a topic that also relates very much to Rosh Hashanah. We'll see why as we go on. And I want to begin with a couple questions. If someone doesn't like Jews, what do we usually call them? Anti-Semitic or anti-Semites? Yeah. How come they're called anti-Semites? Anti means against. Semites are?
Religion
shame. Are from who? Shame. But is every descendant of Shame Jewish?
No.
But for some reason, we're connected more than anyone else to Noach's son Shame. That you realize, don't you? That Semites come from the name Semite comes from descendants of Shame. Noah had how many sons? Three. Do you know anyone else in Tanakh named Shem other than Shem ben Noah? Are there people in Tanakh that people name their kids after? There's no shortage, aren't there? Yeah, I think there's even Yefes nowadays. Not that fancy name, but there's a lot of names in Tanakh. But no one ever calls themselves Shem, correct? Other than Shem ben Noach, he's the only one. But isn't that name a little strange? Name you can name. The joke is when they were filling out the form, and when they said, you know, male, female, they said circled M, they said, and then when they get to name, they just circled name, and that's it, like a typo or something. Why did Noach call his son Shem? I'm not going to answer that now. But something we're going to try and see. What I want to show you, that the word shame is going to be something special. Let me give you a little example. Again, I want to do like, today's show will be a Barbanel stuff. I'm going to spend the first 4 or 5 minutes asking questions, which I don't want to answer. And then we'll get to work. Take a look in Perek Yud Aleph and Sefer Bereshit. Look in Perek Yud Aleph and Sefer Bereshit, starting in Pasuk Yud. Anyone else read the Chumash? We have more to tell. There we go. And going. Everyone has? They say we'll need a Chumash for sure. Look in Perek Yod, Aleph, and Sefer Bereshit. See? Pasuk Yod. What begins it? What's it say there? Eilef Todot Shem. And that begins a set of genealogies that takes us all the way till? To Avram Avinu. Everyone knows Perek Yavot. Remember, there's 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and 10 generations from Noach to Avram. But here we can dafka from Shem. So we get to Terach and then to Avram. That's fine. But go back to Perek Yud, Pasachaf. What do you have there? No, in Perek Yud, Pasachaf. Eleb and Echam Mishmutam, and then Perek and Pasachaf Allah. No, that would be in a Parshia about the children of Shem. And that goes on and on. Twice in Chumash, one chapter after the next, we have the genealogies of Shem. Why is it repeating it? Does Shem have the same kid? It's the same Shem, it's the same kid, it's the same, pretty much the same genealogy. For some reason, I need to find out the genealogy of Shem twice. We'll try to understand why by the end of the day. One more question. Let's go to davening. What part of davening requires a lot of kavanah? Shmanik Kavanah, and what part of it, like, what's like, what? Shmanik Kavanah for sure, but when we daven with the Tzibur. Remember Kaddish, and what part of Kedusha? Or what part of Kaddish, I'm sorry. Remember Yehi Shmei Rabbah? We say with Kavanah. By the end of the day, I want to try to make sure you understand it, how to say with Havana. You know the difference between Kavanah and Havana? Kavanah means concentration. Havana means understanding. You know what that word means? Yehi Shmei Rabbah? Who's that a prayer for? It's a prayer on behalf of God. That what will happen? That God's name will be known. What's it mean that God's name will be known? There's a pasuk in, I think, what? Tov Shem Hashem and Tov? What's that mean there? Tov Shem Hashem, you heard that? Tov Shem Hashem and Tov? A name? In English, someone makes a name for themselves. What's that mean? Name doesn't just mean someone's name. Someone means his reputation. When we talk about God's name, We're talking more about his reputation. How are we getting his reputation on? What I want to show you today, as we begin Sefer Bereshit and try to figure out what's going on in the book, how one of the topics of the book, which will be one of the topics of Chumash, is how is God going to get his reputation known? If you want to take it to a marketing scheme, you've heard of that, marketing? You guys might do that in college. You know what marketing is, don't you? What do you do when you market something? You have a product.
You have
I market something. You have a market. You have an item which no one heard about. And you want to sell it. So what do you do?
Advertise.
And how do you advertise?
Billboard.
You get the name out, but also it's got to be good. It's got to be something that people want to buy into. So we're going to see that there's, I'm sort of oversimplifying, there's a massive marketing scheme happening in Sefer Bereshit, which goes into the bigger question of Chumash, is why is it that God's picking a nation? Last week we talked about a relationship between man and God. Didn't we? A little bit? How Chumash is the relationship? Oh, no, but that was, we didn't do, last week we talked about the Chagim, didn't we? It was more about the Chagim in the number 7. Today we'll talk about how Chumash or Nevuah is about a relationship between man and God. But it's also about between God, not just the man, but especially about Am Yisrael. So now those are the questions, now we'll get to work. If you had asked yourself, what's the first topic of Sefer Bereshit? Just in a nutshell, as general as possible.
Creation.
And how many days does it take? Last count? 7 days. What parak is that in Sefer Bereshit? Or a galah that we all know? First topic, I'll call it Kriya. What's the next topic? What's parak bet about? Parak bet and gimel?
Adam
and Gan Eden? Whatever happens in Gan Eden, we all know the story. For good or for bad, right? We know the story. We got the fun. The Parag Dalet, what's that about? I didn't have them. I'm going to make a list of the main stories in Sefer Bereshit. Then what happens? Look at Parag Kei, and what do we get? So look at Parakeh. Take a quick look at Parakeh. Look at genealogies, don't we? There's no shortage of them in Sefer Bereshit. How would you tell the genealogies of Parakeh if I wanted to find them like Parakeh of Oskar?
I don't know.
These are toldot from where?
Adam Tov.
These are toldot from Adam Tov. See the board? What follows the toldot? That's Parakeh. What happens in Parak Vav? What story starts in Parak Vav? The flood. Look how Parak Vav begins. There's like three parshiot in Parak Vav. You see them? The first one talks about that if you leave, that God's not happy with what's going on. Look at Pasuk Hei Nechet in Parak Vav. He's bored and angry. He's like utterly upset. Who's he upset with? He's upset with humanity. Man's gone the wrong way. And look, what specifically he's got, look at Pasuk Hei in Vav, what specifically he's got angry with? What really got him perturbed? What got God angry? What is it that God's angry with?
Not man.
He's angry, but how does it say, what's bad about him? What's the Pasuk? V'yetzer machshavot libo, rak kol hayom. Bad. And therefore God says, no good, let's start over again. Correct? God says, remember God says, Emchet Adam Asher Asiti, I'm going to wipe him out from Adam, everything I created, it's hit the restart button. Correct? What's the next Pasha about? No short one. Beginning Pasha Noah? Noah. No, not yet. Noah is a tzaddik. Noah's a tzaddik. He's got three kids. Shem, Cham, and Yafet. And who's bad? There's corruption, but the Shem, Ta'ar, Hashem. Everyone is the first of the year. So that leads into the story of the Mamma. Mabul's parent, Zion, Bab Zion, Echad. Everyone knows the story. The flood's over, then what happens? After the flood? Noah comes out of the Teva. And what's God promised? Yeah? He's never going to hit that reset button again. You guys know the Medrash. But what was God doing before our creation? Remember that Medrash? What was God doing? He's creating, and destroying, creating, destroying, 970 sometimes. I think 24 less than, it should be about 24 less than 1,000. But God, everyone heard that? God's creating and destroying. What's special about our creation? The option of destruction is not there. God can punish specific nations and areas, but a massive restart ain't going to happen again. That's what he promised.
Well, the first restart wasn't a complete restart.
He saved Noah, but why God picked Noah for the purpose of starting over again? God says, I'm going to wipe it out. I'll give you an example. The first creation story, what's everything covered with before creation starts? In Perek Aleph. Isn't there Mayim? Rachim Rachefet Apanei Mayim? And there's Tohu Vavohu? And then God divides the Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtonim? And then the Mayim collects and we get the Yabasha? And then there's Mitachat Lashem? Mayim is there in the beginning, and then everything divides up from it. What happens in the flood? Everything goes back to Mayim. And then towards the end, we see the Yabasha again, things rise again. It's classic. It's a classic parallel. When you're not on top of today, but you can, it's very easy to parallel the creation story in Perek Aleph and what happens after the flood. But I want to get back to something more basic. So there's the flood story. God's unhappy. He punishes. Starts over again. And afterwards, we have a, which is important in Chumash, we have the first brief. What's that brief called? Brief Akeshet, the Rainbow Covenant. What does God promise to do? Not going to do it again. But man gets mitzvot now. Remember seven, the seven Noachan laws? Especially, not to kill. Shofech dam adam, dam yishofech. That takes us to the end of Perek Tet, doesn't it? The end of Perek Tet, the novel's over. Noach gets drunk, the whole story, you know. Perek Yud, what happens? What do we get in Perek Yud? Genealogies again. How do we title these genealogies? How's it begin? Ele Todot? No, carefully. What's it say now? Todot? Bnei Noah. These are Todot Bnei Noah, which include who? Shem, Ham, and Yeth. And then divide up into the 70 nations, okay? Look at the last line of Perek Yud, and make sure that it matches the first line. Again, look at the first line again. Ela Todot Bnei Noah. What's the last line of the parak? Ela Mishpachot Bnei Noah Todotam. And from these nations, what happened? Mankind went around. How many parshiyot are there in Perek Yud? Within this Todot Bnei Noah. How many parshiyot? Three. What would you expect them to be? Shem coming out there. Is that true or not? Take a look. The first one is who? Is Yefet. Not just Yefet, look carefully. The first one is Yefet and Ham. Who's the middle one? Canaan gets their own special parshiyah. It's so special. And then who's the last one? Shem. Now, when Shem is introduced, look carefully. Look how Shem is introduced. How is Shem introduced in Pasach HaVaalot? Is this Shem, the son of Noah? Shem has a last name. Look, what's Shem? What's his surname? Not just Eder. What's it, Eder? Take, read it. Right, Eder Todot. I mean, Ulashem Yulad Hamu. And who's Shem? Avi Kol Bnei Eder. Which means what? Shem is who? The father of all the children of Eder. Who's Eder? Eder Menachem. Who's Eder? Not Eder Menachem. What? Eder is Shem's grandson? Where does it say that? Is there a tradition or it says so? So take a look, yeah. Take a look at the genealogies of Shem. Shem has five children, doesn't he? But we also get to the grandchildren. Which of his five children do we follow to grandchildren? Not too many. We have Arpachshad and... And Aram. But of all the grandchildren, who do we follow? Arpachshad. And Arpachshad has who? Shalach. And Shalach has Eber. Eber is his great grandson. Understand? Everyone knew that? Eber is his great grandson. But what is Shem known as? The forefather of all the children of Eber. Do we find out who the children of Eber are? How many kids does Eber have?
Peleg
and Yoktan. How many kids does Yoktan have? Keep going. They don't stop, do they?
No, why?
Yeah.
13.
Yeah. Those are better known as Bnei Ever. In fact, later on in Chumash, these Bnei Ever are going to have a name. You know what they're going to call them? What would you call someone who's from this family of Bnei Ever? Abraites. Isn't Abraham their descendant? And what's he called? Abraham? Ivory, isn't he? And what, they say, what does Moshe tell Paro? Elohi Ivrim, Nikra Leinu? And wait, the Egyptians don't like these guys, do they?
No.
They say Kananim or Ivrim? What? The tongue Kanan. But who won't the Egyptians eat bread with? What? Okay. And remember, for Shami Tanu Nari Vri, remember? And we have to hide his identity, why? Okay, okay. So therefore, what's Yosef going to get when he gets out of jail? He's going to get a Goy Shinin. From Christopher, something else. Or something. What did they get a Goy Shinin? Because we're not going to have an Ivri running our country. And only avoid they find out who his brothers are. Now, back to why do we do all that? Something's going on here, isn't there? This isn't just genealogies of shame. There's a setup. I'm focusing on Eber and I'm focusing on Kanan. Why? Go back to the middle part. I'll look at Pasuk Yutet. What do we find out about Kanan that we didn't find out about anybody else? You see his borders of Kanan and Pasuk Yutet? We have the borders of Kanan from Sidon down to Aza. We don't have borders of anybody else. Why do we need to know the borders of where Kanan was living? Because later on, God's got to promise that land. And we'll explain why, and why is Kanan going to lose it? Because of their sins, which starts back with, you know, with the end of the Bible. And do we find out where the children of Eber are living? Look what Eber's great-great-grandchildren are finished. What do we hear about them? We find out where they're living also. And they're on the move. I'm sure you know that, you know how the three sons divide up? If you look at the children of Ham, which includes Mitzrayim and Kush, you know where those countries are? That's Africa. If you look at the children of Yefet, it's Yavan, Greece, and Turkey and stuff. No, that's close to Europe and Turkey and Europe.
It's European.
And Shem is Babel, is what do you call it? It's Asia. Mesopotamia. Got it? What's smack in the middle? Isn't it? Shem, Ham, and Yefet is the three different continents, pretty much. And Israel's smack in the middle. Whether VSM, we'll talk about it either this week or next week, but that's important. Now, back to Chumash. There's a story that follows. The story that follows this Toledot. So the last story, these aren't just the Toledot. It's not the children and grandchildren. It's very specific children and grandchildren and great grandchildren we're getting to. But there's no doubt Eber is something important. And how's that reflected in the famous Midrash? Where was our forefathers learning? Yeshiva Shem Eber. There's something important about Shem and about Eber. We'll see why. Now back to Perikyut is over. And what's the connection between, look at the last line of Perikyut. Eilet mishpachot b'nei noach letolotam. Finish it for me. The last line of Perikyut. And from these families, what happened? Mankind spread out. But how did they spread out? Read the next line, Perikyut Aleph. What story is Perikyut Aleph about?
Okay.
And Migdal Babel was a story about what about how we spread out. Migdal Babel. Correct?
Yeah.
Look at Pasuk Yud now. We were there before. What begins now? Now we get rid. Toldot Shem. But not as Toldot Shem, the son of God. That was Toldot Shem. And that takes us to Abraham. What's going to follow this Toldot? What's going to follow the Perikyut Bet? The story of Abraham again. See that? Make sense? Now, are the Toldot introducing stories or concluding stories? What we saw here, the Toldot Bnei Noach, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Is that the end of the novel story, or is that the beginning of the Migdabala story?
No, it's getting it.
So let me show you a little proof how it works. Look, go back to Parakei. Go back to Parakei. And look at the format. Look at the format of Parakei. You know what I mean by format? You guys know computers. Parakei has a format. Real simple, you can't miss it. It's a third grade assignment. Right? Sixth grade assignment. Right? There's a format in Parakei. What is it? Every parsha in Parakei follows what format? It says, Vayichi Ploini. Right? Kach v'kach shani, Vayolad et his son. And then this guy lived X amount of years after he gave birth to Ploini. And then he lived, and he had Yod Barim Abonot. And then Vayikoyi made Ploini, Kach v'kach shani. Vayamo. Isn't that the format? Every parsha ends with Vayamo except one. Good old Chanuch. Nothing special about Chanuch, but that's cool. Now, look at the format. Look at the format in Perikir Aleph. With Todot Shem. What we just saw. Perikir Aleph, this is what wasn't good. Look at the format in Todot Shem. Is it similar?
Well, it's
the end.
The end.
What?
The end.
The end.
And hey, focuses on their dying. And
everyone in Parakei except Gerul Chanuch, what happens? Hayam. And Chanuch also gets taken away a little bit too early. How do they all end? In Parakei Aleph? What's missing?
Many kids, nothing.
No, no, that. But Yom and there's no Vayamot. That might be incidental, or might be something going on. Because what the 10 generations of Adam Tanakh leads to? Destruction. Yeah. The 10 generations of shame to Terah, and Abram leads to Abram of him. And life. Now, go back to Parakeet again. Parakeet again. Who's the last in the list in Parakeet? Like, everything being remembered by Chi, Tuani, Kaf, and Kaf, Shanim. Who's the last one on the list? Lemech is last, and who's after Lemech?
No.
Who's Noah's father? Lemech, wasn't he? Does Noah fit the pattern or not? Why does Noah fit the pattern? What's missing? What part of the pattern of the format is missing for Noah? He says, "Vayhi Noah chach lechach shanim vayolad shem chaman yafet." We're missing the. No, if you had to make up the last sentence, what should be the last sentence of Noah? Make up the whole sentence for me. What's the last sentence for everyone else? What's the last sentence for Lena?
Vayichi
Noach kach v'kach shanim. Vayikol yimei Noach v'yamot.
He's not dying.
But there's more to the story. Look at, where's the novel story? End of Parak Tet, isn't it? Look at the end of Parak Tet before you forget all that. Look at the last lines of Parak Tet. See the end of Parak Tet? Isn't that cool? Read it for me. Read the line I'm looking for. Read that loud. Vayikoy me'enoch shamot shanah v'mashu, right? Vayimot. What's that proof? That the mabo is part of what?
Part of the genealogy.
The mabo belongs to... The mabo is part of the... Todot v'enoch. In other words, Todot v'enoch introduced the mabo story, right? Just like we proved before, Todot B'nei Noach introduced Migdabala, doesn't it? Didn't we prove that? Because this one ends with people scattering, and this is the story of how they scattered. That's the Migdabala story. And these Todot Shem introduced the story of Avraham Avinu. The story of Amisrael being chosen. Does it make sense? Why am I beginning, for some reason, the story of Avraham Avinu begins with who? With Shem. Something special about Shem. Rosh Hashiva. Now, if that's true, what am I missing? For this pattern to be good, what am I missing? How should the creation story begin?
With
all of them. But instead, how does it begin with? Rosh Hashiva Elokim. But I need it somewhere, though. Are there Talmud anywhere?
Yeah.
Take a quick look at Perek Bet Pasuk Daled. Look at Bet Pasuk Daled. Second of the issues, right? It's really supposed to be in there. What? As it begins? Read the whole sentence. Eile
Toldos.
Mirabon.
Ashamayim. Varet. Vivara. And what follows the Tol? What follows this introduction? The story of what? Of God. What happens first? What happens in the next pasuk? The next couple of pasukim. What's missing? God created, but what's missing? Man's missing because no one's to work the field, and rain's missing. So what does God do first? He creates man. How does he create man? Afarmin adamad, put neshama, etc. So the Todot Shemayim Ba'aretz introduces Gan Eden, doesn't it? So the pattern works nice now, doesn't it? But what introduces Bria? That's it. So those Shemayim Ba'aretz introduced Gan Eden. But where did Shemayim Ba'aretz come from? Where did Bnei Noach come from? From Noah. Where did Toldot Adam come from? From Adam. Where did Adam come from? How did God make man? From Shemayim and Earth, didn't he? But who made heaven and earth? Where does it say that? Reshit Baruchim et Hashemayim et Haaretz. See how cute Chumash is? The first chapter is Reshit Baruchim et Hashemayim et Haaretz. God made Shemayim and Earth. And then from Shemayim Ba'aretz, what's God made? Man. And then man makes more men, you follow? And it continues. And that's why Elo told Shemayim Ba'aretz, Elo told Shemayim Ba'aretz, and then, I need Perek Aleph to get to the beginning of Perek Bet. And then, does that continue to say for Rishi? Do we get any more Toledot?
Yeah.
After the Shemayim Ba'aretz, you know, I get Toledot of who?
Esau.
Of Yishmael, don't I? We get the total of the pizza?
Well, yeah.
Is there a pasuk like that?
Later, later.
Every Balkori knows. Hey, that's what those pizza are. What follows? That's the story of Yitzchak. We had him already. The story of Yaakov and Esau. Toldot is the story of the children. Toldot bnei Noah is not the story of Noah, it's the story of his children. Understand? Is there a Toldot Yaakov?
Yeah, very
much. Yeah. There is some good, there is some guns, there is for me. Here we go. Toldot Yaakov. And we will see. The story of Yosef's brothers. We even have Toldot Esau, don't we? It takes us all through the book, doesn't it? So that's Toledo. That's a technicality. But there's something important about it. What's important about it is I can do the Toledo. This is Yitzchak. And then this is going to be Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the brothers. Now, if I take a look at all this, I can divide Sefer Bereshit into two very distinct sections. Correct? What's the last and big section about? What's the main topic from Perek Yud on? From here on, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Israel, what's that story of? That's just about the forefathers, about who's chosen. It begins with God picking up from Avinu, and then some of his children are chosen, and some aren't chosen, isn't it? Did you ever read the book? It's about being chosen. Who's chosen, who's unchosen, and who is chosen. When the book's over, what happens?
What verse is it?
During the book, there's a choosing process all the time. Remember, Avram in, Yishmael out. Yitzchak in, Esav out. Yaakov in. Right? Then there's a big question, how about the next generation? Are we going to keep, all Yaakov's kids are counted or not?
Yeah.
At the end of the book, we know that. But while the movie's in the middle of the movie, doesn't look like it, does it? Are you going to include the Bnei Ashkabot? Are Bnei Me'ah going to be in? Bnei Rachel? Is Yosef in? Yosef out? You follow? The brothers don't think he belongs. They don't like him, do they? The bits for the kill him, isn't it? They make a suit up, and they kill him and they throw him and they make his, and they sit down to eat. Now, when the book is over, what do we know? We have 12 tribes and we're all chosen and we're stuck. We're stuck. And that's it. That wasn't necessary. There's no more. I mean, you're stuck. They're stuck. You're born Jewish. You're Jewish. That's it. No matter how good or bad you were. We reach a certain point, and they're all chosen. By the time this book is over, this is Bechira.
that choosing process, that would be the topic of Sefer Bereshit. But that's not the topic of the first half of the book. What's happening in the first half of the book? There's Gan Eden, there's Gan Eden. There's four major stories besides after creation. There's Gan Eden, there's Gan Eden Hevel, there's the flood, and there's Mika Babel. Some shorter, some longer. Yeah. And anything common between all of them? Besides the good stories?
He made mistakes.
Every story begins with man doing something, the guy gets pretty upset. Doesn't he? What's God upset about in Gan Eden? He eats right to God. And does God do something about it?
Yep.
What upsets God in Cain the Hevel?
Kill it.
Okay. Does God do something about it?
Yep.
Big time. Remember Hevel? I mean, that old time? Remember that? Way before Harry Potter. He had that little thing on his head, didn't he? Now, what's the next story? The flood. Is God unhappy? Why? Because that was why? Big time. Over and over again. And then, can I do something about it? And then, Mika Babel? God's unhappy? He did something about it? That's the whole first, that's the first half of the book. But that's very different than the second half of the book. The second half of the book doesn't follow that pattern. The first half of the book talks about all mankind. And God's relationship with all mankind, how he's unhappy with what's going on. The second half he picks Am Yisrael. Got it? On the other hand, there's obviously parallels connecting them together. Because there's one major question in Chumash. Probably the biggest question, which only makes sense when you study the book, is why is God picking a nation? Now, to clarify the question, to try to give it a direction of an answer and to get back to shame, I want to ask you a question that pretend you didn't hear this class, just off the street. Let's say someone asked you, why was Abram chosen? What would you answer based on your 12 years of Jewish education? Why was Abram chosen? He found God. Who heard that? Abram found God? Who heard that? What other reasons they give you? What? You what? Yeah, he broke the idols. He survived the furnace. He went through that furnace test. Yeah?
He
went to Shalavim, what?
He passed the message of stuff on Mishnah.
That's before he was chosen, after he was chosen?
I mean, I guess it's sort of unfair because
in the Pasuk,
it's not fair that...
In the Pasuk, he doesn't say that at all. Pasuk says, that's why he... Where did you go to school? Oh, okay, that's why you learned that. You were supposed to know that. Most schools don't teach that, but you're right. You don't listen to him. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. You're a sultan? No.
Yeah.
That day, your brother was here last year?
Still here.
Still here. Oh, he's in a bed. Okay. So you're West Orange?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that your older brother went to Gush. One of them, didn't it?
A couple of them.
I'm sorry. Back to the book. Got the book? Listen. Those are the classic answers. Something wrong with them. But those were answers to a different question. The question you were answering was, why did God pick Abraham? I was asking a different question. Why did God pick Abraham? Listen. There's two questions. There's a question, why did God pick Abraham? And there's another question, why did he pick Abraham? You understand? You guys are in yeshiva. Got the chiluk? Because once God's picking somebody, there's a question, why did he pick him over, why did I pick that guy over this guy? You know, when you go, let's say one day you want to get married. So first you make a decision, I want to get married. Then you have a question, why this girl over that girl? You follow? It might be money, no fun of it. But first you make a decision, you're getting married. But what decision came first? To clarify, let's go back to the flood. God picked Noah, right? Why did God pick Noah? Is Chumash tell us? He was a tzaddik, right? It says so. Wasn't he a tzaddik? It says so, wasn't it? Okay. It was Tamim, Tzadik Abdelotav, Tzadik Noach, you know the whole thing. But there's another question, why did God pick Noach? You follow? What happened first? Did God see, oh Noach, what a righteous man, let's destroy everything else and start over from you? Or did God say, this world is corrupt and bad and evil and I gotta start over again? And for the purpose of recreation, he picks Noach.
The one who commits is the second one. First we're told God's unhappy. He's an unhappy deity. Remember? He's really unhappy with what happened. He says, I'm going to wipe everybody out. And then we're told, Doch is Matzachem. Because what does God do? From every species he takes, remember Zachar and Keva? For the purpose of recreation. And who's going to be the CEO of this whole operation? No. Why did God pick Noah over anybody else? Tzadik haya b'dorotav. Within his generation, he was the best specimen. Better than anyone else. Doesn't mean he was the only one, but that's one who God wanted. Now, what's Rashi say on the spot? Rashi picks up right away. Chazal, he quotes Chazal. Because there's a parallel between Noah and Avram Avinu. What's the parallel? They're both chosen, but for totally different reasons. Noah was chosen for a one-time job. To what? For the purpose of recreation. Why Noah over anybody else? He was the best of the bunch. Had there been someone better, he would have taken him. Take Noah. After the flood, understand this thing? First God says, I'm going to recreate. For the purpose of recreation, I pick Noah. What happens later on? God says, Avram, what a tzaddik, therefore you're being rewarded. Or does God say, I want a nation, and I'm picking Avram to be the forefather of the nation? If I follow Chumash, does Chumash tell us how great a tzaddik Avram was? Does Chumash tell you that Avram found God on his own? Does Chumash have about breaking idols? The Midrashim are beautiful and they're very deep. But Chumash doesn't tell you that. Chumash tells you, God picks Avram Avinu to be what? That's Chalav Regalo. God wants a nation. And to have a nation, you need children. And therefore, He promised them to have lots of kids. And need a nation, you have to have a land to be a nation. And those are all things that God promises Avram Avinu. In a nutshell, Avram is chosen for what he needs to be, not for what he was. That's the pasuk you were quoting. That's what Chumash says later on. Why did God pick Avram Avinu? For what purpose? So that he would command his children and their children to follow the way of God. To what? To follow the way of God, to do tzedek u'mishpat. That's not what Avram did. That's what Avram needs to do. For example, take a quick look in Perek Yud Zayin. In Perek Yud Zayin and Bereshit. Better known as Brit Milah. We'll talk about this brief in a minute. Look at chapter 17 in Perek Yud Zayin. What does it say there? Avram was 99 years old. Hashem appears to him and tells him he's Kel Shaddai. And then he gives him a little commandment. What's the little commandment at the end of Pasuk Aleph and Perek Yud Zayin? God says, listen, Avram, you're 99. Avram Kel Shaddai. And what are you commanded to do? Ring a bell? Oh, come on. Hazal picked up on it. That's Noah. But it's exactly opposite. It's similar but opposite. Noah was chosen for what he was. Remember, what are we told? That's what Noah did. Avram is chosen for what he needs to be. That's chosen forever. That's a destiny. That's a challenge. Look at the next line. And now God's going to enter a covenant with Avram Avinu to give him the land of Canaan. But we'll see for a reason. Is this the first covenant in Chumash? There's a covenant where? After the Mabul there's a covenant. And here there's a covenant. Here we have Brit Milah. You know what the covenant of Brit Milah is about? We'll do a real quick, 2 minutes, a real quick comparison, because this is new. Just a short one, this could take me do for hours, but just a short one. Look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. See the Pasuk? Why can I say that that's the covenant? What's it say there? And Ubain the Victolam. Got it? Look at Pasuk Zayin. What's the covenant? What's the phrase in Hebrew? Everyone see that? The covenant is real Elohim. That's the covenant of Chumash. What's the covenant? He's gonna be our God. What's the corollary? Remember Yom Kippur? Anu Amecha? Ata Eloheinu? Anu Tzonech? Remember all that thing? All through Chumash. He's our God. We're his people. Now, what do we say third parsha of Shema every day? Remember what?
That God took us out of Egypt, or why took us out of Egypt? Say it by heart. Last line. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Liot lachal Elohim. Remember, not that He took us out of Egypt, but why He took us out of Egypt. That's a covenant between God and Avraham Avinu. Avraham, that's why he's called a forefather. God wants a nation, but He begins the nation with what's called Zer Avraham Avdo, and Bnei Yaakov Bechira. Right out of Davin. Remember that phrase, what's going to follow that? What's going to be our reminder of that covenant? Brit Milah follows, remember? And what's the Brit Milah with the Pasuk in Bet, or Yudalah? Yimolachem Kozachar, Baya, Lo'ot Brit Ben Yuvenechem. Remember all you three stories, remember the verse? Circumcision is a oat Brit, not the Brit. Now, before you forget all this, zoom back to Perek 10. To the covenant that God makes with Noah, the Pasuk Yudalah. Sound familiar? Look at Pasuk Ket, Perek Ket, Pasuk Yeralef. Exact same words, isn't it? Take a look. Bakimoti briti. What's it say? Bakimoti briti chem. And what's the covenant? No more reset button. I'm not going to destroy you again, like the marble. Is there going to be an oath break? Did it say oath break? At Kashimer, Bayal oath break, Benio Benares, isn't it? The Keshet is, you see the parallel? And it just goes on and on also. You can bring another 20. There's Pru or Vu, there's Shem Elohim, there's Ben Yuvay, it's fun. Got that? What's the connection between the two Britot? When God tells, after the flood, what does God decide to do? No more reset button. Before the flood, if something goes wrong, what could God do? He can break it. And start over again, like the loophole, like the first loophole. After the flood, what happens? That's it. What can God do when something goes wrong? He can punish selectively. But we need to fix things. How are we going to fix things? God wants to fix things. As an agent for God to fix things throughout the history of mankind, what does God want? God wants a nation. And what's that nation going to do? How's it going to fix it? We have to bring the world, we have to bring God back into the world. How do we do it? It's a marketing scheme. First, God wants a nation that He has a special relationship with. But what's that nation going to talk about 24/7? From a marketing scheme? You ever been to a Jewish community? Every day they gather together, at least 10 at a time. And what do they talk about? Shukin Zimra. Odul Hashem Kiru Bishwan, remember? Yikadav Shmei Yeshmei Rabba. They don't stop talking about that, do they? Good things, bad things. They talk about, you can't be in a Jewish community that doesn't, you don't hear God's name. You can't forget about it. But because they're representing God, how do they have to act? They have to be, well, boy, they have to be humble to a higher standard. What would happen if this nation talks about God 24/7, but is obnoxious, cheating, lying, conniving? That's called a chilul Hashem. Big time. How about if these people are just and accept, great, but never talk about God? No good either. So what do you need to do? We have both how we doubt and how we pray, how we talk, and also how we act. The rest, we don't get the details of all this. And the rest of the punishment. No. But what we're doing is what's called, we're making a name for God. It's a big topic in Sefer Dvarim. No. We don't do it by, we primarily do it by example. By being what's called a model nation. Yishael calls this a idea of Olah Goyim, or the Tekeda. But how did this story kick off? With who? It all begins with Toldot Shem. Because look at the end of this story. At the end of the Mabu story, when after Noah gets drunk, remember, he curses Canaan. But isn't there a blessing? Look at the blessing. What blessing does Shem have? Take a look at the end of Perek 10, and we'll finish with that. Look at the blessing that Shem has. It just explained all Rosh Hashanah about that. Not all of it, most of it. Look at Shem. What's it saying? What's he saying about Shem, Noah?
What's he saying? This is the first time in Chumash we have Baruch Hashem, isn't it?
Well,
what's the pasuk in Hebrew?
No,
the whole thing. Keep going. No, before then. Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem. What's that mean? Who is God? What do you mean? He's the God of Shem Chanan Nefer, isn't he? He's the God of all mankind. He's the God that Shem is talking about. Because what did Noach want his son to do? To be a rabbi. Why did Noach, remember my opening question? Why did Noach call his son Shem? Because Noach had a goal for his son. Not just to be a doctor or an investment banker. His the goal of Noach's son that would make a name for God. Where did that come from? That's over here. Go back to right over here. The end of the kind of animal story. Take a look in your voice at the end of that, remember? Right before it's all done to Noach? Look at the very end of Paragala, right before Paragala begins. Because remember I asked you how come there's things repeated there? What's the very end of the Cain and Hevel story? The last phrase. Remember? Cain and Hevel are gone. Adam has another kid named Shem. And he has a kid named Enosh. What happens? The last phrase. Atuchal v'krobosh en Hashem. Which means what? They began to call God's name. Good or bad, big argument. But we have Kriya v'shem Hashem. Zoom to Perek Yudbet, when Avraham Avinu was chosen. Remember that phrase, Atuchal v'krobosh en Hashem? Avram is chosen in Perek Yudbet. Pasachet. He makes Aliyah. He goes to Shechem. He comes to Beit El. What's he doing in Beit El? Perek Yudbet Pasachet. He builds a Mizbeach in Beit El. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. On Yom Kippur, we're going to, on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to read Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Hashem. What's about Lori? Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Hashem. Vayikra Hashem Avram B'Shem Hashem Kedolam. Avram's Kori B'Shem Hashem. And that Hodu L'Hashem Kedol Mishmo. Remember? He calls out two gods, he calls out a bad god. He does both. It's Kriya B'Shem Hashem, he's calling two gods and a bad god. Over and over again, Avram does. And he's Chayka. Got it? For that purpose, Avram is chosen to make a name for God. When we do it, not just, Avram's the prototype. But his offspring are going to become the nation that do that for a living. That's their destiny. And that's how they bring blessing to mankind. Now, back to, look at all these stories. We had Kriya B'Shem Hashem here. At the end of the Mabul, we have what? We had Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem. And look at the story of Migdal Babel. What did they do wrong? They figured out fire. Remember they had this industrial revolution, they make bricks. That's so bad. They use the bricks and they build a city. Great. And they build a tower. But what's the purpose of everything they're building? Yeah. Look at Pasuk Dalet. Parag 1. Parag good, Parag good, Parag good, Allah. Pasuk Dalet. I'm sorry, that was Pasuk Gimel. Let's take let's make bricks. And then what do they say? Hava, nivne lanu ir. Let's build a city. Umigdal Rosh Hashanah Shamayim. Veneste lanu shem. Who are they making a name for? Later on in Chumash, do we have a city and a tower in the middle? But instead of in a bika, it's on a har. That's right. And what's it going to be called in Sefer Dvarim? Hamakom Hashiv Har Hashem, the Shakein Shmo Sham. Wasn't that last week's topic? I tried to tie them together. You follow? Wasn't that the major topic of the holidays? Remember? Shalosh Pavim Bashana, Yad Poshcha, Hamakom Hashiv Har Hashem, the Shakein. Remember? The Shakein Shmo Sham, the Chag Hamatzot, the Chag Hasukot. The center of Am Yisrael, the icon. Or not, it's going to be a place. What's the purpose of the Mikdash? It's going to promote God's name. How does it promote God's name? It's our reminder why we're chosen. It's our reminder of our covenant. This covenant that began here, Milah is going to get to Har Sinai. Well, the same thing's in Har Sinai. I'll tell you the Am, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Well, all the same things will be there. We apply this idea to a nation, representing God. Parshat Nitzavim, I'm going to read. We read this morning, yesterday, Monday, Tuesday. I tell you to him, Labracha b'brit Hashem Elokei Avrato, Laman, what's the Bakor? Laman Hakim Otcha, what's the Bakor? Come look at it. Remember, Parshat Nitzavim, Laman Hakim Otcha, Laman Hakim Otcha, Ayom Lo La'am, Bo Yidach Elohim, Kashir Diber Lach. Come on, remember, V'chashir Nishba Labotecha. Kashir no Lenin, first Aliyah in each one. Look at Parshat Nitzavim later, we don't have time. Get it's a theme throughout Chumash, throughout the Siddur, it's everywhere. But remember my opening question about Shem? Chumash is beginning the story of God's relationship with this nation. It begins by God's upset with mankind, and how that tends to be, mankind tends to go bad, but God puts into creation something that will hopefully get it in the right direction. And we have to market, we have a product which is invisible, remember that? And we have to give it visibility, you know, the marketing idea. And part of being Jewish, and part of tefillah, part of keeping mitzvot, all this is a bigger thing. So that's not everything in Jewish, but I'm talking about there's a theme in Chumash. It's like one little part of Judaism, but it's but when you study Chumash, you want to connect how the world of Halakha connects to the world of Chumash, how it develops throughout these stories. It all begins in Sefer Bereshit, and things which sometimes we don't even catch. Hamitia, but you see this theme of shame goes all the way through. That's why it's important that Avraham Avinu comes from who? Total shame begin Avraham Avinu. That's why Chazal Pip Shame has to be the first first yeshiva. Because that's what yeshiva is about. That's what Torah is about. Making a name for God. That's why the story of shame and the brachad of shame can't be to God. And that's why kind of have a with Kriyat Hashem Hashem. Whatever direction that goes in. And that's why Migdal Babel is so important. Because man is using his wisdom and creativity. Instead of finding God, man finds himself. Making it for himself, you're making it for God. You have to be creative, but what do you do with your creativity? What do you bring with it? So that's the idea, that's why shame is such an important thing. And the most amazing thing, it's like mind-boggling, that for a very good reason, subconsciously, what does mankind refer to us as? We're Semites. Is that neat? If you hate a Jew, no one does it consciously, but it's amazing how it works that way. That when someone's called an anti-Semite because they hate the Jews, what's it reminding us of? Our job. And if we do a Chilul Hashem, that's the reason why, in the Tochav we read last week, that's why God will punish us. If we do a Kiddush Hashem, God will bless us. So that's the, you'll see later on, that's the theme in Rosh Hashanah, that we'll talk about that next week. But remember our Lenin Lashabeah, remember? Remember our Kiddush Kavalacha? Where's that from? Aleinu, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who wrote Aleinu? I mean, when was Aleinu wrote? How can we say Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah? You know, it's opposite. Aleinu was written for Rosh Hashanah davening. That was way back, you know, time of the Tanaim. Only about 12th century, they put it into our davening, every day. Aleinu was written for Malchiel. And Alkeinu Kavod Hashem Elokeinu, that is the same thing. And we'll continue the thing as we go on. But what I try to show you today, why the idea of Shem Hashem is such a big topic in Chumash. You don't notice it in all these stories, but if you look carefully at the stories, there's a thing developing, it starts tying all Chumash together. Already?